بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I apologize today, family is a little sick. Please make dua for Shifa, inshallah. I think I'll probably shorten it today, just so we can cover the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam properly. It's in two parts. So one thing I just wanted to cover from last time, which is the last ayah of the story of Lut alayhi salam in Surah Hud. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. It is not far away from the wrongdoers. And so in terms of what we're talking about, what does it mean to be far away from the wrongdoers? So of course we talked about that the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is not far away from them, okay? Meaning that the people of Mecca are causing a huge corruption in the world, in the sense that they are in they're in proximity or close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet they're worshipping gods besides Allah. So this is reminding the Meccans that saying that you think that the punishment of Allah is far from you, no matter where you are, because you are an oppressor, the punishment is connected to you because you are an oppressor. Not because of any place a person will be in that they think they'll be safe now. Okay, I'm in this area, this area, this area. I'm in a sanctuary, I'm in Mecca, you know. People think that because I'm here, that means that no punishment will ever befall me. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. The punishment is always connected to the oppressor, no matter where they may be. This is the first thing. Second thing is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is trying to highlight something else to the people of Mecca. Is that in terms of their رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, they used to travel in the winter and the summer to Yemen and to Syria and to Sham. And so they used to go by this area all the time. So they used to pass by the Dead Sea. And by the way, you know, Dead Sea salts, anything that comes from the Dead Sea, this is the azab of Allah Ta'ala in the world. You don't use anything from those areas. So if a person offers you Dead Sea salts, you say, no, I'm okay, thank you. I'm not going to use the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, you know, that wouldn't make any sense. Right? Someone said that, when Sheikh said, when someone asked him about it, they said it's good for cosmetics. He's like, you'll burn in hell. Like, so what are you gonna, why would you ever risk that to just have a beautiful face in this world? May Allah save us and give us beautiful faces in the hereafter. I mean, so it's something that they go by all the time. It's literally not far away from them. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh, oppressors of Makkah, this place of Lut alayhi salam, you pass by it all the time in your travels. Keep that in mind. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells every oppressor to recognize that the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is not far from any oppressor in the world. No matter who they are, where they are, when they are, the oppressor, because of his zulm, because of his oppression, he's automatically linked. There's a chain here. The chain is because they have oppression. The next link in the chain is the punishment of Allah. So they'll enjoy something, they'll get something in this world, something so temporary, something just so artificial. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala will seize them with the punishment and they'll receive even more in the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, because this punishment, again, is linked to an oppressor, not just an oppressive community, but any zalim in the world, the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is not far from them. May Allah protect us from that. It's a beautiful statement in the Quran. And so this is the area that we were talking about for the Dead Sea, right? Right there, right on the bottom, is the area that I wanted everyone to focus on, which is the area of Midian, right? Of Midian in the Quran, because it's the next place that we're going to talk about. So Lut alayhi's people is there. Saleh alayhi's people is right underneath. And Hud alayhi's people is right underneath that. Okay. Actually, Midian is actually really close to the people of Thamud. Unbelievably close. Okay. And right underneath that is the people of Hud alayhi salam. Again, they were situated, their kingdom was in Yemen. So underneath that is the area of Yemen where the people of Hud alayhi salam were, then Saleh alayhi salam, and then Lut alayhi salam. The ayah is going to come at the end. So I just wanted you to note that very quickly, inshallah. And we'll come and cover it. And so just to note where Musa alayhi salam was. Musa alayhi salam was coming from the area of Egypt. He actually, you know, he goes through the Sinai Peninsula, ends up in the area of Midian. He actually walked a very large distance, subhanAllah. When you look at it, Allahu Akbar, right? So, subhanAllah, he goes there and he meets, it's mentioned that it is Shu'aib alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala knows best if it really is Shu'aib alayhi salam or not. I still haven't compared the times, but I want to make sure before I say that. People often claim that Musa alayhi salam met Shu'aib alayhi salam, but in terms of historicity, in terms of timings, there might be a little bit of conflict there. It's important to make sure we get our facts straight before we say something like that. It's possible. In the Quran, it just comes up Shaykh. It doesn't say Shu'aib alayhi salam. So it could just be a regular Shaykh.
Allah Ta'ala knows best. But I will, inshallah, I didn't get enough time that I wanted to research it. So inshallah, maybe tomorrow I will be able to cover some more on that, inshallah. It's all interesting stuff for me. This is my bread and butter. I love this stuff. Like, it just makes me so happy to do this, you know. Just to note that, you know, in terms of what we're talking about, the area of the Sinai Peninsula, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, you know, Midian is really at the edge of that, right? It is the center, if you like. The reason why it's so connected to the people of Mecca is because Midian is really the center of the world at the time, basically, you could say. And so people have to cross by there for many different things. You can imagine how many people have to go to the areas of Mecca and Medina, or, you know, before that, just the area of Hijaz. And people have to go to Yemen, right? Where did they have to go through? They have to go through Midian, which is in the middle, okay? So everything is really centered around the area of Midian. So it makes it a very beautiful place to be hospitable. It's a very prosperous area for business, right? If you want to be a good businessman, you'll be in the location where everyone has to do business, right? You know, you'll go to Wall Street or the places where there's finance, right? So the place of Midian is the place where there's finance, because everyone has to cross by there, right? So just giving, I gave you a whole bunch of maps just so you could just kind of visualize it. Because it's important to understand these areas so that way you can understand the message of the Quran. When it's speaking to people, they're speaking about the actual lives, what they lived. And so you're going to see this direct connection. When we talk about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam and the lives that they lived and where they are, all this stuff is important. All this stuff comes together. Okay? So Allah give us understanding. And I hope, you know, it's always been a passion of mine, really, studying Quran is just, it's beautiful. Just every day, just you learn so much more just by going through the pages and the ayat and the words, right? So much you can talk about. May Allah make us lovers of the Quran, you know, and I feel like these tafsir sessions are my way of showing Allah how much I love this book, you know, and I try my best to, you know, research and look at as many things as possible because of that reason. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا To Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. I want you to guess what his message was. Okay. We sent their brother Shu'aib to Midian. There, it's called Midian, right? He said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ O people, worship Allah. My beloved people, worship Allah. You have no other God other than Him, right? You have no God other than Him. Only one being to worship. Only one Allah to worship, okay? This is the same message you're hearing all across the board. You know, Lut alayhi salam, the reason why we didn't hear the story of Lut alayhi salam from the beginning or the get-go is because it's to instill the idea of that the Prophet has to be willing to accept the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes down, and to understand that the warning has been given, right? And so once the warning has been given, the message has been sent, now it's up to the people to decide, right? So Lut alayhi salam's people were really, you know, you're just shown the end of that, because they did such atrocities and evil things to Lut alayhi salam. And it's really to highlight to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, because he's as gentle as Lut alayhi salam. You probably noticed that gentleness of Lut alayhi salam. He's so kind, unbelievably kind, even to people who are committing such crimes. Yet he still is so nice. He's like telling them, if you want, you can marry my daughters, things like that. You know, like things that no human being could ever willingly, you know, or just honestly admit to ourselves that we could actually do this. These prophets are on a higher caliber of humanity, that no one could really match them in that. So the Prophet ﷺ is given the example of Lut alayhi salam because of that. And thereafter, it shifts back to Shu'aib alayhi salam, because in terms of the closest people to the people of Mecca, in terms of time and in place, it is the people of Midian. Now, each prophet is preaching the same exact message across vast distances. If there's a proof that Islam is the true religion, it's the reality that every single prophet and every single place and every single era is preaching the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with different tongues and cultures and languages. This is the reality of the message. And this is all without meeting each other. The only prophets that we have that met each other were Ibrahim and Lut alayhi salam. Okay? But other than that, you're going to find what? That Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, they're not family. They're from separate areas, you know? And so Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam from different areas. And then the area, and then Shu'aib alayhi salam from a different area. And each one is preaching the same exact message to their people. Worship one Allah. Worship one God. And so every Muslim should feel comfortable about this. Okay? That we are people who are following the religion from the beginning, from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Shu'aib alayhi salam was known as the Khatib al-Anbiya. This is the, I can't imagine a better title than this, other than Rahmatan al-Alameen, of course, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shu'aib alayhi salam was known as the Khatib al-Anbiya, the speaker of the prophets. In terms of his oration, or the way that he could deliver a message, his sermons were the best, okay? He's speaking to businessmen, and you can imagine the people that are, you know, are involved in finance and trade, obviously they think in a certain mind. And so you have to be very convincing. In business, it's all about the way you can talk, the way you can negotiate, the way you can do business. So a person who has to speak to them has to be on that level or on a greater level than them. So Shu'aib alayhi salam becoming Khatib al-Anbiya, the speaker of the prophets, the one who can give bayan in front of all the prophets alayhi salam, his speech must be the greatest in order to convince businessmen about how this is a profitable trade. Think about that, right? So in any case, so the prophet's job alayhi salam is to condemn evil at the time in clear terms. So this is why Shu'aib alayhi salam had to tell them about their issues with business. Again, the area of Midian is on the way from Sham and all the way to Mecca and Hijaz. Okay, so by this time, because you know Ibrahim alayhi salam, he builds the Kaaba, right, and it's been restored. Now people are coming back and forth to do tawaf from the Kaaba, and then they'll go to Sham because Masjid al-Aqsa, the areas of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam are there, right? So there's a beautiful path for ibadah. This is a huge area of ibadah, of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Midian is right in the center of everything. And because they're in the middle, Midian has a great trade center. It is a center for people to do business in. And so people, because they're coming back and forth, and I just want to give you an example, just it might make the message click much better. You know, like when you go to the airport, like, do you know the prices in airports? Like, it's just, my God, you know? Like, why is it so expensive here? Because they know that you're stuck there and you're going to have to pass by there. So might as well just shoot up the prices. Now, the airport gives you all this like superfluous extra stuff. And you just buy kind of stuff. If you ever buy from an airport, I don't know who the heck would ever buy from an airport. But like, if you ever want to buy from there, you're like, oh, man, you know, I could just wait till I get home. I don't really need the headphones. Okay, that's fine. Let's say you're planning a trip from the area of Jordan and you're trying to go to Mecca. You're going to need supplies. Now, you're going to stop at a store in Midian. When you go inside the store in Midian, you're seeing all these jacked up prices. Like the price of an apple is like 20 bucks. You know, and all this stuff. And you're just like, what? Okay, maybe I'll just buy in bulk. So then what do? You buy like a whole barrel of apples, right? You just buy a huge, like, you know, just a huge crate of apples or whatever. And then when you buy it, you know, you're thinking that you're making a steal because you bought it in bulk. Then you open up the box. And you find that there's water inside, there's like sand inside, there's like some apples, not all of them. You know, like the greatest scam in the world is what? Bags of chips. Like, I mean, it's such an ideal thing, you know? When you open it, you're like, man, it's going to be full of chips. You open it, it's like 75 or 80% air, you know? Like, it's the feeling that you're getting a lot, but you're not getting a lot. So because of the fact that they can first and foremost shoot up their prices, second thing is that they actually just fill their barrels and all these different crates with all this extra stuff, people can't, you know, they go there and they're feeling like they're being robbed. And they're robbing travelers going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the areas of Sham and the areas of Makkah and Medina. You couldn't imagine like what the heck is happening right now. So this is why Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to them to explain this, that they're playing with scales and volumes. The volume thing I told you about is that when they open the barrels or they open the crates, they find that there are other things inside. Or for example, the Prophet saw when a person, when it rained and his, his rice or whatever, it was, because it rained, obviously it becomes like moist and soggy. So what the person did was he covered the top with dry rice so no one could know that the inside was, you know, soggy or wet or whatever. So the Prophet put his finger inside and he saw the inside was moist. He said, oh sir, do fair business, be honest, put that on top so that the person knows what he buys, okay? So they play with the volumes in the sense, again, of filling it with extra stuff. And the second thing about playing with the volumes is that they would scam people by putting the ripest or the best parts on top so that people could not look at what's underneath, okay? And mind you, again, they're going to sacred areas of worship and they're being robbed on the way, okay? And they're being robbed in business, okay? This is not highway robbery here. It's not someone who's coming up and putting a gun at your head and telling you to give me your stuff. It is someone who legitimately you thought you're going to go into the shop. They're smiling at you, being as nice as they can. And when you make a sale with them, you see that you were cheated and lied to. Okay? That's one way. Another way is playing with the scales. So then, you know, the idea of using magnets or unfairly weighing the scale, putting the scale in a certain way. So that way it looks like a person, when they put the apples onto the scale, it weighs more. But in reality, there's a little bit less. Okay? And so when they play with the scales like this, or the volumes like this, or the weights that they use, for example, the weight would say like, you know, maybe 10 pounds, let's just say, or 15 pounds. In reality, the weight weighs less than that. So when they put that scale on, they think it's 10 pounds. In reality, the weight is only like 7 pounds. So a person actually walks out with less every single time they come in. Basically, when you walk into that store, you're just going to get robbed by these quote unquote honest businessmen. You know, you feel like you got put up, you know, someone put a gun to your head and you couldn't do anything about it. And this is really like, it's a striking reminder to our financial systems of today about how people are being robbed and they don't even realize it. But all the things that people are jacking up prices and playing with prices and working people, and literally like these markets today are just so atrocious. Like it's an atrocity. So atrocious, honestly. So keeping that in mind, this is what Shu'aib alayhi salam has to deal with. They're smart people. They're cunning people. They're good people. You know, they're really good at business. So Shu'aib alayhi salam, if he's going to speak to them, he has to speak on a level higher than a businessman. Just to get you an idea about how well Shu'aib alayhi salam is going to deliver his message. So Shu'aib alayhi salam, he speaks to them and says, وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Don't give short measure, meaning when people come to mikyal, when they come with the volume to give you like a crate or a barrel, give them full what's inside. Don't fake it, don't shortchange them. وَلَا الْمِيزَانِ. And when they weigh things, then don't play around with the weights, don't play around with the scales, give them exactly what they asked for. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Beautiful thing to tell a businessman. I see you all are prospering. وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. But I fear that you have torment or punishment on an overwhelming, an encompassing day, a day that surrounds you. Okay, so we'll explain this right now, inshallah. I see you in goodness. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. Shu'aib alayhi salam says to them very beautifully that I see you all in goodness. And if you're thinking that this story has no connection to the people of Makkah, don't worry, it's going to get there. If it already hasn't settled in and sinked in about this discussion, it's going to sink in. I see you in goodness. This is the most beautiful thing. You got to praise the businessman. If you want to get your message across, you got to praise him. You got to make him feel like he's so good. You got to pump him up, you know? If you don't gas him up, how are you going to get him to understand anything? He himself is looking for you to convince him. And so by flattering him and encouraging them, mashallah, this is a great dawah technique. I see you, brother, mashallah. You're such a great man, mashallah. Man, subhanallah, what an amazing person you are. Look how much wealth Allah has given you. Maybe if you were to just give a little bit in the way of Allah, then what happens is that amount will be staying with Allah and it'll be increased every single moment, inshallah ta'ala. And you're going to still have your 95% or your 99%, whatever. You always pump them up. You gas them up. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam first and foremost tells them that please don't shortchange these things. Worship Allah and don't shortchange people. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. I see you all in goodness. You're all wonderful people, amazing people, extraordinary people. Things that I worry about it is that what? If you have so much wealth, you're such good people, why do you need to rob travelers? You know, like, why is it the case? You know, he's telling them you're good people. Why is it the case that after being such good people in the world, why do you need to rob travelers? Where do you think they're going, dear respected brothers and elders and sisters? Where do you think they're going from Sham? They're going from the areas of Jordan and Syria. And you know, and he's telling them you are good people. Where do you think they're going? They're going to Mecca for the Kaaba. And if the connection hasn't been made yet to why it's so important for the people of Mecca to realize this, is because their business dealings, you know, obviously when you go to an area where everyone wants to go, you go to New York and you go into the stores, you're like, why are these prices so outrageous? You go to Mecca and Medina and you wonder like, what's up? What's happening here? You know, Medina, mashallah, has much fairer prices. You know, just the barakah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the thing is that, why is it that you're going there and you're just pumping up every single price? You know, there are travelers coming to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think that people who came to worship Allah, you'd be nice to. You'd be kind to. So he tells them, I see you in goodness. But I worry about that, you know, this evil that you're doing. And the evil is what? That, Allahumma salli Muhammad is over here. A day that will take everything with it. There's no way around it. Azaba yawmin muhit, a day that surrounds you. So the thing is about business is what? Because they're in the area of Midian, it's a desert. Right? It's an area that is basically barren. And so they're getting all their things from imports. They're importing things from all over the place. And so for a person who's working strictly off of imports, you got to make sure that, you know, all the ports, all the channels are open for you. What happens is Shu'aib alayhi salam is warning them about a day where everything will be limited, everything will be stuck. You can't go in from any single angle. And so since everything has been blocked, there's no more money coming in. There's no more products coming in. There's no more produce. By the way, the people of Mecca are in the same exact position. Everything is coming from all over the world. There's nothing in Mecca that it can tell for themselves legitimately that we have something for the world. Rather, everything's being imported from the outside. And the best thing that they have is what? That we have the Kaaba there, mashallah. That's why people are coming. So the people of Midian are only getting benefit because people are coming to worship Allah. You think that they'd be nicer and kinder. So Shu'aib alayhi salam says, guys, you're good businessmen. You're wonderful businessmen. But imagine one day all your imports are shut down. Imagine everything is shut down. What are you going to do? There's no way around it. If that day is shut down, all your produce, all your products, everything will be shut. Okay? So this is why Islam is not only about connecting with Allah, but ensuring that every moment and everything of our lives is also connected. Every part of our life must be clean. This is why it's important for people to understand, if we are true Muslims, then it does not just mean I pray five times or I have a beard or I wear hijab. These are things of the external nature. They're connected to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it must mean that I speak honestly and my dealings are honest. And I have to be a Muslim through in and throughout. Every way you look at me, I'm a proper Muslim. So Shu'aib alayhi salam is highlighting this fact to them, that everything has to be clean. And he's warning them of that day. وَيَا قَوْمِ أَوْفِ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ So he goes and tells them, oh my people, my beloved people, look, please fulfill the measure and give full weight with justice. And do not defraud. وَلَا تَبَخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ Do not defraud the people of their belongings. Don't diminish the people of their belongings. Don't steal from them. They are travelers coming to worship Allah and you're robbing them. وَلَا تَعَثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ And don't go around wickedly about the land and corrupting it. The word athar in Arabic is when you're wandering aimlessly. There's no way you're going, you know, or ta'athar rather. Athar, the word athar, sorry, I wrote athar there, is to wander aimlessly. It's like you're not sure where you're going. So he's telling them that the way that they're moving in the world is that you're just so reckless. You know, like a good example of athar in our life is a little child, a toddler. You know, he will walk down the hallway. You know, Yahya will walk down the hallway and he'll cause so much carnage and destruction. And he won't even realize what he's done, even if it meant that he's going to drop his own food, you know, or like, you know, rip off his own diaper or whatever and just go wild. He just destroy everything on the way. That's asa. وَلَا تَعَثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ They're not realizing that when they're corrupting the land, they're actually destroying themselves. Shu'aib alayhi salam is warning the businessman and telling them very beautifully that look, all your imports, you're causing damage to everything that you're profiting from. And by you defrauding and ripping off the people, you're causing corruption for yourselves. Your business will go down. He's trying to tell them, look, be honest here. Give full measure. Give full weight. Be justice. Be good. And remember that if you're causing this problem, it's not going to cause a problem to yourself, to them only. It's going to cause a problem to yourselves. And this is the thing about people that, you know, when people are told to worship Allah Ta'ala or to do fair business, they think they're being robbed. Like Allah's robbing them. La ilaha illallah. Be just in dealings. Give without fear. Give without fear, because Allah Ta'ala is the one who provided for them. So he reminds them that don't decrease in the slightest, be honest in your dealings, right? And so the immediate feeling for a businessman is that if we do what Shu'aib alayhi salam is going to tell us right now about being honest and being fair and everything like that, we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose everything. You're telling us that this, so then, you know, we're going to start to give people fair prices. So now we give them full barrels of apples. We give them, you know, full measure, full weight. Then what happens is what? Look, man, Shu'aib, this is not profitable at all. We're going to lose everything. If we're doing what you're telling us to do, we're going to lose everything. So they're looking at it in a very critical, you know, again, just by the way of profit and loss, we're going to lose everything. So Shu'aib alayhi salam tells them, Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum. What remains with Allah is best for you. What remains with Allah is best for you. And I think it's probably good to stop here after this ayah, inshallah. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum. It's beautiful words. Amazing words. No, it's something that we all need to reflect on, especially in the month of Ramadan, and really after a year of working with a pandemic and a virus. It's something we all need to reflect on. Okay, what is the point of reflection here? Is that what is the one word which describes everything in life? You know, what is the one word which describes everything in life? It is, if I were to put one word to it, it is temporary. If I'm gonna be honest about it, you know, people could say life is beautiful, life is extraordinary, life is this, life is that, life is magical. For me, if I'm being real honest about it, if you were to ask me what word describes life, it's temporary. Everything about this is temporary. Nothing, how, you know, you got to think about it. That everything we live with, everything we're enjoying, you know, the clothes that we have, the eyes that we're using, the hearts that we have that are beating in our chest, the ears, the clothing, the food, the, you know, the house, everything is temporary. Everything. Health is temporary. Health comes and goes all the time, you know. We're looking at wealth. Wealth is temporary. Money goes up, money goes down. Everything is fleeting in this life. beauty is temporary. A person will be so, you know, so conscientious, or just, you know, just always be focused on the mirror, making sure that we look good. You know, but the fact is that when we get older, the wrinkles will show, the beauty will fade, life will just disappear. No matter how many cosmetics we put on, eventually people are going to see through the mask and see that reality, we're getting older, and it's not going to escape us. Beauty is temporary, strength is temporary. A guy is lifting so many weights in the gym, and I wonder, subhanAllah, how long he thinks he's going to lift the weights for. One day goes by, another day goes by, things go by, the health, the strength depletes, the strength diminishes. This guy is bragging about how good he is in football. Wait till he's 60, 70 years old. Let's see how much football he can play. You know, how much basketball can you do? How much can you dribble after that? Strength is fleeting, you know? And life in itself, in whole, in its essence, is just, it's just going away. We are just like the flowers and plants, is that it just disappears. You know, in essence, what this life has, you know, in what this dunya has, this worldly life that we have, it all means that it just continues to go, okay? And so I have to understand that I am temporary. And if I could understand that, then I could understand the bigger goals in life, that I'm not here forever. There are much more important things to do in life than just making sure that I'm looking attractive, I'm looking healthy, I'm looking well. There must be something bigger in life. I'm here for a couple of years in this existence, in this world, from 1992 to whatever, I'm going to be here. And then afterwards, I'm going to fade, I'm going to go. So what am I here for? Okay, nothing lasts here. The things, though, that go with Allah, they last forever. The things that you do for Allah Ta'ala last forever. They never disappear, okay? They never disappear. The example of this life is like the example of a person who enters into this huge, beautiful area. Let's just call it like a huge, so much food there. You know, so many foods, so much luxury there. And they go into this store and they see everything there. And then an announcement is made. It says, you can enjoy anything here. You can enjoy anything here. Take as much as you want from here. You know, eat whatever, drink whatever, right? But the rule is, and they said the rule is that as soon as you leave the store, you can't benefit from anything here. You can't take anything here. Whatever you eat in the store, whatever you take from here is for you. You eat it, it goes in your stomach, and you're done. But in terms of as soon as you leave the store, you don't benefit anymore. But there is another option. While you're here, the announcement is made. While you're here, there is a certain bin, a certain area in which you can place things. You can put things there. And so those things will be able to leave with you when you leave the store. So now the smartest person in the world would tell themselves, you know, and the most intelligent person would tell themselves, if I'm in this store and I can eat whatever I want, I can drink whatever I want, I can have whatever I want. You know, I think the fact is I'm not going to be here forever. So let me just put things in this little bin here so I can make sure when I leave this world, I can take it with me. Okay. That bin is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that little basket for yourself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You leave things with Allah. Those things that are with Allah will last forever. And so we put time with Allah, we put health with Allah, we put our wealth with Allah, and we put our knowledge with Allah. Those things that are with Allah ta'ala, they last forever. And so you tell yourself, what is the rational thing for a person to do? If you're only in the store for a limited amount of time, 5-6 hours, or 70 years or 80 years, you're only in this world, what is the smartest thing that a person can do? Make sure you pack your bags and take things with you that will go on your journey. We came on this life from another place. We came to this world from another place. We're in this world for a little bit of time and we're heading out. I think it's smart for us in our travels that we take things with us that will last forever. So Shu'aib alayhi salam says, oh, businessman. This is why I tell you, he's a khatib, amazing khatib. Oh, businessman, you're worried about a temporary profit. I'm giving you permanent profit. I'm giving you retirement. I'm giving things that will last forever with you. Which one would you choose? Short-term profits or long-term profits? And he tells him that because he's a prophet, Shu'aib alayhi salam. Which do you choose, the permanent or temporary? And I tell you, I feel like it's so obvious in my brain that, all right, you're telling me that, you know, 2.5 zakat, 2.5%. All right, I have to pray 5 times. This stuff is a steal, man. I tell you, it's such a steal. In Islam, it's such a steal. Wallahi, it's such a steal. Allah could have asked for 24 hours. He said, here, give me 5 minutes, you know, 5 times a day. You know, like, I don't know. You know, like, so zakat, ya Allah. SubhanAllah, Allah could have said on your gross. You know, Allah would have put that money on the paycheck. You know, the paycheck comes in. Allah says, all right, from the paycheck, before you spend on anything, 2.5%. No, at the end of the year, after everything has been spent, your life is whatever, this and this, Allah says, all right, at the end of it, just give 2.5%. You know, this is amazing. Hajj only once a year. Are you kidding me? Subhanallah, once a lifetime. Are you kidding me? Just once I have to go, that's it. Allah has made it so easy. You know, like life is so easy. Just to get success. So which do you choose, businessman? It comes with one condition though. And he says, in kuntum mu'mineen. All my beloved brothers and sisters, you know, all the people of Midian, if you are believers, وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظ. Look, I'm being honest here. I'm only here to give you a message. I can't protect you. I can't save you. I can't preserve anything to you. That's Allah's job. If you are believers, I am not your protector. Allah is your protector. I promise you, this is my promise to everyone here too, that when you give anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, 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 you'll find it with Allah. Because Allah is Allah and I am Shakil, you know? Allah will be the one to give you everything and you'll take care of it. They're worried that if we become good people, our wealth will diminish. So Shu'aib alayhi salam comforts them. They act like they will remain with the wealth forever. Shu'aib alayhi salam tells them very quite honestly that in this life, everything is so fake. Things don't last forever. As a businessman, that if you put them, you know, the one that put them in this position in the first place is Allah. The fact that they're in Midian is the fact that Allah Ta'ala put them there. So they should recognize that reality and then give things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we'll leave it there for today. Just not really feeling well today. Please make dua, inshallah. We'll pick it up from there tomorrow. May Allah give us all tawfiq and hidayah and understanding. Allow us to live for the things which are permanent, and not things just which are just temporary, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam, jazakum khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.